Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome to an hour of mind power. We are trying to reach our guest in England, Kingsley L. Dennis, and we've not been able to do that, so we're going to move along, and hopefully he will be calling in when he's able to get to a phone. Sometimes we have these challenges because there's a huge time difference, and, well, in England, who knows what's going on? There's all kinds of challenges. Well, I wanted to share a story with you, and this is something that I think is very important. There was a quote that I came across today. It was reading like this: waste no more time arguing what a good man should be. Be one. Now, I would rephrase that, say, waste no more time arguing what a good person should be. Be one. Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in this world. Both of those comments are very, very compatible. And I think it's so significant in today's world, especially with the phenomenal level of communication capacity that we have, that we really pay attention to how we not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And I wanted to share a story with you about a man who decided he was going to do exactly that. His name was Chris Gross. He lived in California. And this is a real happening that occurred when the awful bombing happened in Oklahoma City. And it just really hit him very, very hard, even though he was thousands of miles away. It impacted a lot of people, and for him it was especially significant. 137 children lost a parent. And the question he asked himself is, where would I be if my parents hadn't been around when I was growing up? So he decided he was going to do something. He wanted to do something to help these 137 children. And he was farsighted in his vision of what he wanted to do. He decided he was going to set up a college fund. The likelihood of most of these children being able to go to school with a single parent home was going to be pretty remote. And this is what he did. He started right where he was. His very first step was to call the president of the company he worked for. And he talked to the president, as well as some other individuals in the company, and said he wanted to set up a fund, and he was going to donate his annual salary as an investment analyst, which was a big chunk of change. $53,874 were going into the fund. Now stop and think about that. He gave up his entire salary to seed this college fund that he was going to make into a program for these 137 children. This is what he did next. He challenged his company and 18 others to match his gift, so that the fund would come to a total of $1 million. How old was Chris Grove when he did this? 50? 60 years old? Someone that had a lot of money saved up. He wouldn't have to worry about this. No. Mr. Gross was all of 26 years of age. And his statement was, it's not easy living without a paycheck. But he had no debts. And he was in a living arrangement with four roommates because he was very frugal. He had four of them. He saved his money. He said, I can live for a year without my salary. It's not easy, but I can do it. This man's commitment, the word spread throughout different companies. When people started hearing about this and what he had done, individuals started contributing their own gifts financially towards this. Benefit shows were done, concerts, seminars were held. The San Francisco Opera and the San Francisco Giants, they participated in this. Within 4 months, Chris Gross had $525,000 in this fund for these 137 children. Never doubt that one person can make a difference. Now, when you think about what Chris did, it took guts, didn't it? That's right. It took real guts. But his commitment was not to get recognition. It wasn't to become a big hoo-ha in somebody's environment. It was out of care and concern and saying, if I can do this, I'll challenge others to assist. And let's make it happen. To me, this is the personification of the American soul. It is so absolutely what Americans are all about. We come from all around the globe. We're from all kinds of financial endeavors. But I don't know of any other nation of people, this wonderful bouillabaisse of individuals, I don't know of any other place where people say, let me support you. I believe in what you're doing. The generosity of the human soul is just absolutely incredible. The American spirit is a representation of the real essence of the depth of quality and character of the human being. I don't care what they broadcast on the news. I'm talking about the soul of a nation. And that is what this represents. This is so important to me because there's also this other aspect, the daring to do something that is out of the box, the daring to believe that you have the right and privilege to do something that others might say, oh, that'll never work. When I was in the former Soviet Union, and this was in 1992, I was doing a number of interviews with different people. And at the conclusion of one interview with one of their top attorneys in the entire nation, I can recall so vividly the man saying to me, you Americans, you have a fire in your soul that we Russians just don't get. You believe that you have the right to move forward. You believe you have the right to be free. He said, this isn't in the Russian heart. He said, it's just not there. We don't have it. When I came across Chris's story, I thought, this is a representation of what real humanity is all about. You don't want to just give for the sake of giving, in that you don't want a positive result. For these young people to qualify for these college funds, they're probably going to have to step up the standards, because if they're not accepted into a college, the funds won't be there for them to use. They have to qualify. So they're going to have to work. That's very important. But at 26 years of age, at the time that he did it, and I know it was a few years ago, but the lesson is still the same. You make a difference. You are someone that is so important in this story of life, in this experience of life. And I want you to remember, it doesn't make any difference whether the world recognizes you. It is the difference of who you are and the quality of who you are as a human being. That is what makes a difference. You never know when your smile, your kindness, your thoughtfulness, your clarity if someone asks you for advice, your sincerity, your integrity, all of that is so important. I wanted to share that with you today. And it looks like we are not going to be able to hear from Kingsley Dennis. And regardless of that, we're moving forward. We're going to be opening up the phone lines, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'll light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And if you have a question about anything, just know you're going to be able to ask about anything that you like. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking with two different people. Marvin Brown is going to be my first guest. We're going to be discussing how you can talk with anybody, anytime, anyplace, anywhere. Do you ever feel like you have lockjaw when it comes to decent conversation? Marvin will clear that all up for us. And then we're going to be talking with Danny Hoffman. Danny is going to have an incredible story to tell. It's untying the knot. What is that knot? Well, you're going to have to listen in to find out. And then we're going to have a Best of Donna on Friday, and that is going to be for a program on Avicenna's Medicine by Hakima. And I think that you'll find it extremely interesting. You'll be able to travel back 1,000 years and learning what a genius 1,000 years ago. My goodness, if he were taken from that century, dropped in today, he'd say, let me tell you what I know. He was so far ahead of the curve 1,000 years ago when it comes to wellness and health. So we'll be hearing about that too. So anyway, right now, telephone lines are opening up for you. Kingsley L. Dennis, my guest that was to be with me today, he isn't going to be able to make it, obviously, but that's all right. We're going to be moving forward anyway. Chocolate. Oh, don't you just love it? Yes, yes, yes. It is one good for you, and two, it's delicious. I love chocolate. Well, I came across a survey. I love these surveys. I don't know where people have time to do this, but this must have been a research project that was a project from heaven, I'll tell you. Can you imagine having to sit and sample and make personal evaluations about chocolates, different types? Well, let's see. Caramel-centered, oh, that'd be a tough one. Oh, my goodness. Chomping away on a caramel, dark chocolate. I wonder if that includes raspberry, orange flavoring, whatever. Milk chocolate, nutty chocolate, white chocolate. Now, why is this significant? Again, I don't know who did this study, but they must have had a phenomenally good time. Caramel-centered, if you love caramels, and you love it wrapped in chocolate, and, you know, it's just, oh, man, it just makes your day. I remember talking to a guy that was in the Marines, and he was working on my neighbor's roof, and he said, give me a Snickers bar, and I could do anything. And when he was overseas, and, of course, you know that has nuts in it, and there's other candies, too, but the caramel, the nuts, and then the whole nine yards, he said, makes my day. I can just keep going, going, going. He said it was really important as a soldier because he needed fast energy. I don't know how they made it in the heat with a Snickers bar because it really gets ooey gooey. But, you know, that is something for most of us as children, if we've had the opportunity to have that. It just brings back good memories. And what they found in the research is that people that really like the caramel-centered chocolates, that, chewy, melt-in-the-mouth type of thing. They say you're a nurturing kid at heart. Hey, that's not bad. You'll never get old. Free-spirited. You love it because it reflects a part of who you are. You just have that joyfulness about you as a person. And you also have this way of keeping that youthfulness, that free-wielding spirit of self, and also be very poised in everyday life. And you also are a nurturer. Yes, you really like making sure that everything around you is in harmony. Disharmony isn't part of it, and if ever you get stressed, you find just a little piece of chocolate. You know, those bite-sized pieces, those are really good. Yes. Well, now let's get into dark chocolate. We all know about the nutritional benefits of dark chocolate and how, oh, this is so good for you. And, of course, all of we gals especially go, any excuse to have a piece of chocolate is a good excuse, right? Right. Well, if you are a fan of dark chocolate, it means you're a complex leader. Why? Dark chocolate is very intense in taste, and it also reflects a passion for life. Yes, you're ambitious, you're determined, and you really like to take on projects that maybe other people would be afraid to take on. Now, you like to have fun, and you usually play as hard as you work, and you enjoy being in social environments. And you are not a simple person. Just like chocolate has a lot of complexity to its flavors. So are you a person that's multifaceted? Yes. Now milk chocolate. That is consumed by so many people. That tells that you are a serene, creative person. All you need to do is have a little bit, and it mellows you out. And it just helps you, if you're sort of in a brain fog, you just feel a whole bunch better afterwards. Then you know what? It's a real mood booster, and they've proven this scientifically. Don't you just love scientific reports that support the idea of having chocolate? Well, apparently for the creative person, just savoring a little bit of chocolate can help smooth the kinks out and maybe even open up some creative thinking. Milk chocolate. Not milk chocolate, white chocolate. Now, I'm not big on white chocolate. That is not something to me that's ever had a lot of flavor. However, they found in the research when they did this survey, and again, they must have had a real good time with this, that the people that really liked white chocolate were on the emotional side, and they were very idealistic, and they loved to dream. They said these people tend to be detail-oriented, and you really enjoy the flavor of vanilla, which is in the white chocolate, and so you're a person that observes things. You are a person, again, that's very detail-oriented. So the idealistic dreaming part of yourself is something you need to honor and respect. Who knows? You may become a world-renowned writer or artist. And last but not least, nutty chocolate. Nuts and chews. Oh, yes. Yum. Well, if you like the nutty chocolate, you're a sensation seeker. You're smart, you're adventurous, and you don't mind taking risks. You're willing to step across boundaries that other people say are not possible to step across. So, for some reason, if you have a choice between an easy road and the hard one, you'll pick the path that challenges you every single time. Now, what if when you listen to this, that you said, gee, Donna, I like dark chocolate. I like caramel. I like nuts. I also like milk chocolate. Hey, combine it all. You're a fascinating individual. Just a little bit of fun stuff there for the chocolate personality info of the day. This is Donna Sebo, and we have not been able to reach our guest today, so there's an open line, and you can call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6006. Now, I wanted to share a few tidbits of information with you. One is about head injuries, concussions. This has been coming more and more into the forefront of sports news because so many young kids today are experiencing concussions. Well, what did we do? We said everybody's got to wear a helmet. And the fact is that in a lot of sports, instead of just being for fun, there is a real intensity and a competitiveness that I was amazed, even in Little League, in baseball, I was amazed at when I was educated on this and how expansive it is. So it's important to understand that these traumatic injuries to the head are increasing, and it's increasing in children and teenage athletes both. Now, in the year between 2011 and 2012, 308,962 kids had concussions. That's a pretty big number. And they said they are really wanting to see better equipment designed. And there are so many claims made by different companies relative to their products that it helps to prevent damage. But when you're playing baseball or you're into hockey, soccer, these are things that can happen. And I just think it's something that we need to be aware of. And the first line of defense is when there is an injury, you need to be able to take that child and have them checked out right away. Because sometimes, because they have a softer skull, when this occurs, if they're hit in the head with a baseball bat, a ball, anything like this, have them checked out. Because sometimes, especially as they're growing and developing, even with a helmet, the impact of the action that is forced against the head and the neck, and this occurs in football. I mean, heck, if it happens with the big guys, the adults, you know it's going to have an even more intense effect on the younger kids. But the younger ones are more resilient, so you want to be sure that you have them checked out, because lots of times things will take 24, 48 hours or more, and then suddenly there's a hemorrhage in the brain. There's all kinds of things that can occur. So if anything like this ever happens to a child, you need to make sure that you have them checked out right away, because that is very, very important. Also, I wanted to share some information with you about texting, and we all know we shouldn't text when we drive. And in 2011, more than 3,000 people were killed and 387,000 were injured in crashes involving a distracted driver. Now, we know about the texting. We know about talking on the cell phone, but what they're finding now that is even contributing more to this is the dashboard technology. That's right. New cars, they have the navigation and internet-connected infotainment system. And where they are, you have to look down. Your eye has to go to the right. And I don't know about you, but I will find that if I'm driving, and I noticed this years ago, and I want to look to the left, it's almost as if my body, my hands on the wheel, will start moving towards the left. If I'm looking at something on the road, on the right, and I'm really looking at it, let's say I'm staring at a sign, then I'll go to the right. And you're steering, you may think that you've got your hands on the wheel and they're in the right positioning and you're just going straight forward. But there is that natural patterning of moving the body towards the direction that you are looking. It's very, very subtle. So what they're trying to do, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they are trying to develop guidelines for the makers of automobiles and dealing with these built-in distractions, because they are distractions. And let's face it, if you have to reach over and you have to touch something, you're reading something digitally on a screen, you're distracted. Your eyes are off of the road. And it can take, you know, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and boom. If you're tailgating, you're in somebody's trunk. So you need to be aware of these things. Now, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to limit the time drivers take their eyes off the road to perform a task, and they can perform it within 2 seconds, and no more than 12 seconds total. 12 seconds is far, you know, it's really too long. And the car companies are being encouraged by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to disable manual texting, web browsing, and video-based calling unless the vehicle is stopped and in park. Now, this is really something, but it is a reality. And then also, they are wanting to focus on portable devices like your phones and tablets, and they are trying to work together with the driver education systems, working with technology, trying to cut back on distracted driving. I encountered someone just yesterday, and it was a woman. She's driving. She's got her cell phone up to her ear. And by the way, here in the state of Washington, they passed a law saying it was illegal. It has made no difference whatsoever. People do it all the time. And there aren't police officers on every corner giving them tickets. She's talking. She didn't look to the right or to the left. She's engrossed in her conversation, and she's in this huge vehicle, big SUV, and she is just moving along. Now, I, as a driver, am responsible for being attentive, but if I hadn't been attentive and I had moved at my normal rate of speed, which at the time was 35 miles an hour, and with what she was doing, boom, there would have been a collision. So, as drivers, we have to be attentive. But I wanted to share those little tidbits of information with you because they are important. And we need to be consciously responsible when we're driving. We need to be able to pay attention to what is going on around us. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Phone lines are open, and if you'd like to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008 is the phone number that you can call into, and I'd be glad to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, and you're welcome to ask me a question as well. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. We're going to come back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com.
Or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, which I would be delighted to do. All I need from you, by the way, is your first name or your initial. Just give me a call at 888-627-6008. I had a conversation with some people just in the past few days, and this is not an unusual conversation. It is a conversation of concern, a conversation of concern that so many values are being disengaged from our societal environment. And as this conversation was going on, I saw, especially on the part of people that were older, that had grown up in a different time, the concern about family values. And I came across this story about that was written actually by Bruce Feiler, and he had done some research, and he said, this is important because it can show a way. If you're concerned that your family has sort of become disengaged, or you're looking for a way to bring a connection into your life, I think this is so important. And what happened is that Bruce was called in by his dad to a room, and his dad sat him down, and he said, I'm very concerned. Our family is falling apart. And he didn't have that feeling at all. He actually disagreed with his dad. And then a question came into his mind. What is it that makes some families very resilient, and they're very happy? Regardless of what goes on, they are a very strong core. And he said at the time that this conversation came up with his dad, he came across some research. And he said, you know what? I decided I was going to do some investigating. And he started interviewing people. He interviewed people that had good family connections. He talked to intellectuals, scholars, various experts, even talked to peace negotiators. And he said to these various people, what is the most important thing to keep a family united? And this is what came up for him over and over again. It was to develop a strong family narrative, and I'm quoting him exactly, to develop a strong family narrative. Now, Bruce heard this for the first time in the middle 1990s, and he heard it expressed by a gentleman, Marshall Duke, who was a psychologist at Emory University. And Duke, in the talk that he gave, said that he was studying myth and ritual in American families specifically. When his wife, Sarah, whose career was directly related to working with children, especially learning disabled children, and this is what she said to him. She said, my students seem to know a lot about their families, and when they know a lot about their family, they really tend to do a lot better when they're facing challenges. Well, her husband, Marshall, was intrigued by what she said. And so he said, this is a woman's observation. She's teaching children that have learning disabilities. She has observed this common thread of connection with family. Let me see if it's really true. So he went, Marshall Duke joined with another colleague, Robin Favush, and they established a survey called Do You Know? And they worked with children, and they had 20 questions for the children. And one of the questions, well, some of them were, do you know where your grandparents grew up? Do you know where your mom and dad went to high school? Do you know about an illness or something really terrible that happened in your family? And these kinds of questions that they put out there. Now, they interviewed members of 4 dozen families, and they did this in the year 2001. Then they did a testing. The answers that the children gave to the questions with a bunch of psychological tests. And he said it confirmed the theory, Marshall said. It confirmed exactly what his wife had told him. The more the children knew about their family histories, the stronger their sense of control over their lives, their self-esteem was higher, and the more successfully they believed their families functioned. Now, this is very important because when they were dealing with the children after 9/11, the survivors of those family members that had died in that very tragic episode, they found the same thing, that children who knew more about their family were much more resilient. And children, well, when they have good self-confidence, they have, and they describe this term, an intergenerational self. Have you ever heard that? I hadn't. An intergenerational self. They feel like they belong to something that's bigger than there, and that's their family. Why is it, knowing about your history, why does it make such a difference? Well, they are finding more and more research about this, that people, that's one of the reasons why getting into Ancestry.com or any of these sites to find out more about your family's history is becoming so significant. So this is what Bruce found was recommended, that families need to create a mission statement. You always hear that stated for companies, create a mission statement. What are the core values? And he said when families do this, they can identify their core values. And this gives something that's very important. The military does this when they talk about the history of the service. And this has been proven time and time again. It establishes a connection. And this is something where the aspect of traditions come in. It can be very simple. It doesn't have to be expensive. But little things make a difference. I think of during the holiday time, in our family when I was growing up, Christmas Eve, especially with children, you were allowed to have apple cider in very fancy glass that the adults usually used, and you could have cookies, and you could open one present on Christmas Eve. Now, that was a tradition. Now, that may sound like something that just very, very simple, but traditions about maybe going, doing something very special at a certain time, this is a tradition. And when you talk about your life to younger members of the family, just know that people in the family, everyone has challenges. And when you pass that along to young people and you teach them, you can get over certain things. You can deal with hardships. This is so important because the children identify with what adults relate to. And this is solidarity. So this is what Bruce came up with after he did his research and after talking to all of these people from all walks of life, from all economic levels. He said, if you want a happier family, create, refine, and retell the story of your family's best moments and those relatives in the family that went through really, really difficult times and how they survived that. I think that that's one of the reasons why Michael Landon's show, Little House on the Prairie, was so successful. It just resonated with people. It told and talked about a time of the pioneers, and it wasn't easy. Food was hard to come by. Relationships were difficult. What else is new? This is something that we go through. I don't care what generation you're in. The Daltons, that series. Why was it so popular? Why is it still being watched today? Because of the same theme. It's about people, their everyday lives, dealing with issues that every human being has to deal with at one time or another. But remember, your stories can make a difference in the life of your family. And maybe even doing the research on your family tree and getting everybody in the family involved and sharing those stories. It's fascinating. It can make a huge difference in your life and in the lives of those that you love. So if we want to deal with core values, we have to start from where we are, don't we? And if you have a family, if maybe they don't have necessarily good core values, you can use that if there's individuals, and we all have the schmucks in our family tree. I know I do, and I've got a girlfriend who has someone in her family tree that she found out about who was hanged for espionage. Don't you think that makes a fun conversation? But we need to learn. And one of the ways we learn, as always, is through the power of story. So don't be afraid to share yours. In fact, the exploration of your background and of your history can lead you into some amazing discoveries. My husband has more fun with something that he found out about. He's got royalty about 1,000 years back or something like that. He pulls that out every time he can. So you might find that you are related to royalty as well. By the way, I learned something recently. The DNA testing, there are tests that you can do for DNA, and they've gone from $250, and sometimes, I think at one time it was even more than that. It was like $1,000 to get it done. Well, now they've got the technology refined so well, less than $100. You can have your DNA tested, and they actually can give you the genetic markers. Wouldn't that be fascinating? I know I'm a Heinz 57. What about you? Well, finding out about genetic background sometimes can make you aware of your own skills and talents. And maybe you're the black sheep of the family that doesn't fit in, and lo and behold, you'll find out why, because somewhere there was someone in the family, you got a piece of their genetic makeup, and that's what makes you so unique. Fun stuff. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. When we come back, I'm going to share some information and facts with you about some medical items, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm so glad you're joining me. We'll be back in just a moment.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com
or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in and chat with me if you'd like is 888-627-6008. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to have two guests. We're going to be talking with Marvin Brown and also Dr. Danny Kaufman, and oh, she's got a fascinating story to tell, as well as Marvin Brown. If you feel like you don't have the gift of gab, let me tell you, you will be much more comfortable after we have the show tomorrow. Medicine. My goodness, we all have our opinions, don't we? We've all had good and bad experiences. Medicine today is so far removed from the Dark Ages, and yet at the same time, we feel like we're in the Dark Ages because, in some respects, the technology of medicine is moving forward at such a speed. It is incredibly fast. The average physician doesn't have a chance of keeping up with it. You really, unless you're exceedingly wealthy as a physician, you're not going to be able to attend conferences, and even then, you're only going to be able to absorb so much. The knowledge that is coming out that was never before even accessible, and we have the internet, we have so much out there that is available to us. You really, if you put yourself into the role of a physician, you probably would just feel so overwhelmed. I think if I put myself in the position of a physician, I would just go, oh, my goodness, should I even stay in the profession? There's so much to learn. There's new ways of performing surgery. There's more effective, less invasive ways of performing surgery. And yet at the same time, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's a lot of old knowledge. There's a lot of experience that you need to absorb that makes you a good physician. And a lot of people have become specialists. Well, I wanted to tip back into history a little bit because a lot of things we know about today, we just take for granted. Let me share some little items. In ancient Egypt, this is what they did. And if it grosses you out, I'm sorry. A dead mouse was placed on the tooth of a person in dental distress. Oh, boy, isn't that a visual. Couldn't you see a dead mouse with a tail hanging out of your mouth? Oh, erp. Okay. In ancient Rome, toothaches were treated by rubbing one's mouth with a hippopotamus left tooth and eating the ashes of a wolf's head. Oh, good grief. Gross. Now, that was written That was documented by Pliny the Elder. I'm not kidding. This is stuff that really, really happened. Then, when it came to dealing with lice, oh, boy, that was common. Everybody and anybody had lice. This was really common. We hardly hear about it today. Every once in a while, there's an outbreak in a school, and everybody gets into a panic because it's lice are highly contagious. That's why you're told don't share your comb. You just don't do that. You don't share headgear because if someone has lice, it spreads very, very fast. Well, in the 13th century, there was a surgeon, Johann Jeiperman. Now, this is what you do. You smear the person with a paste of mercury, ashes, the spit of a child, and lard. I'll tell you, I'm glad we're living in this time. I really, really am. It's just, this is something. And then, depression. This is something that is a common condition. I don't know of anybody that doesn't get depressed sometime or another, but there are people that really go through very serious bouts. 19th century doctors prescribed the blue pill for many issues, and Abraham Lincoln was believed to have taken it for melancholy. No, it's not the blue diamond Viagra. That's what the pharmacology calls Viagra, the blue diamond. No, this was the blue pill. This pill had mercury. Now, mercury is a potent neurotoxin. They encouraged you to take it 2 or 3 times a day, and in doing that, and again, they didn't know. In the 1800s, they didn't know. Today, it would be a dosage. If you had that, if you ingested that, it would be 9,000 times. Can you imagine doing that? The toxic load in the body would have just been incredible. 9,000 times what we consider accepted levels today. And then schizophrenia. After World War II, psychiatrists gave insulin to plunge a patient with mental illness into a coma, then brought him back. This is barbaric. They did this after World War II. So we're talking about quote unquote modern day treatment. This is what happened when they did it. The insulin would deprive the brain of fuel, and that in turn killed brain cells. And supposedly, this would reduce patients' hostility and aggression. Ugh. Gee whiz. Well, that is a negative side. But I have got a positive side about today's medicine. It's about a 16-year-old named Madison Tully. And she was quite sick. And Madison just was very, very ill. And there is a disease that many African-American people get. It's sickle cell anemia. And it was found that this is what she had. Now, the sickle cell anemia, those unusual blood cells clogged inside of her body. And it creates excruciating pain. Now, in days past, she would have died. She would have suffered a lot physically, and the pain would just be excruciating. Well, they went to a doctor and found that not only did she have sickle cell, she also had lupus. Now, this is an autoimmune disorder that causes the body to attack its own organs. Now, this is so rare. The combination. I mean, it's just like only 11 cases ever have been reported worldwide. And treatment? Who knew what to do here? But Dr. Cantor said, we might have some options here. Are you open for this? One was a bone marrow transplant. And you would have to have a donor where there would be a good match. Now, Madison, she's 16 years old. She did have a sister, a blood sister, whose name was Jasmine. She was a year and a half older than Madison, but they hadn't seen each other. They had been separated for a lot of years because of family circumstances. But Jasmine heard about this, and it was tested, and 2 weeks later they found she was a perfect match. She matched 10 out of 10 of Madison's markers, chemical markers. Well, J. Jasmine got shots to boost her red blood cells. Madison underwent 7 days of intensive chemotherapy to obliterate her own immune system. That's horrific when you think of it. Then the doctors transplanted Jasmine's healthy blood into Madison via an IV drip, hoping that Madison's body would create its own blood cells. And you know what? Madison began getting better. Her fevers and discomfort disappeared. They were gone. Do you know, at 19, Madison is totally healthy, pain-free. This phenomenal accomplishment in modern medicine set a precedent for an otherwise impossible condition to be cured. Madison Tully said, miracles are possible. And it becomes possible because of someone saying, what if? This is Donna Siebel. I'm so delighted you were able to take time to be with me today. Thank you for joining me. Won't you join me again tomorrow? Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Enjoy this day of life. It's a gift. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.